on the telephone line from the Boston Globe. Chad Finn joins us. Happy Valentine's Day there, Mr. Finn.
I didn't get your card, Rich. I assume it'll come in the mail the next couple of days.
Supply chain issues. That's what I'm blaming it on.
Yeah, we all do. We go buy it at Hannaford in the morning on Valentine's Day and then send it out. I know how that trick works.
I was reminiscing today, dropping off my son at school. I was reminiscing with the crossing guard because my son goes to the same elementary school I went to when I was his age. And I have this vivid memory from, I think, second or third grade when I had a little crush on this girl in my class. And I bought her one of those really cheap little heart-shaped box of chocolates. And then I got to school and lost my nerve. So a buddy and I ate about half the chocolates. And then didn't feel so good. And then I gave her the half-empty box of chocolates as a Valentine's Day gift. So I have had this level of smoothness all my life.
Well, hopefully you don't do that again for Mrs. Kimball this year. The lesson at least should have been learned in third grade. But that's not a bad deal. You know, you get a half a box of candy out.
Right. And she got all the stuff that I didn't like. So I'm sure it was really good.
I got to say, that's pretty relatable. That sounds like something I would have pulled back in those days.
Well, we had a little football game last night. Obviously, it wasn't the same for New England fans without the Patriots there, but I don't know. I thought it was a pretty good game overall.
It was. It's far less stressful, isn't it? For us writers, we don't have to make deadline. It was funny. I was just writing about some past Patriots stuff when you called, and when Malcolm Butler made the interception in 2014, I didn't see it even though I was there because I was writing trying to hit deadline, you know, with a win angle and a lose angle and having it ready to go. And I just heard the roar of the crowd and looked up and I was like, that does not sound like happy Seahawks fans. And then you kind of figure out what's going on. But but we don't really have the weight of having a team there that you're rooting for, that you're covering build the tension of it all. It's just kind of fun to at least for a couple of years here, sit back and be able to watch a good game without a real rooting interest.
And some real good stories too. Matthew Stafford getting a chance to be on a good team and a couple of the Rams who may be playing in their last game. And then certainly seeing one of those guys will be a big part of the future of the NFL and Joe Burrow, who certainly didn't do anything to hurt his image with his play last night.
Yeah, if the offensive line doesn't turn him into the next David Carr. I mean, he limped out of there when the game was over and fought through it after taking a hit to the knee late in the game. He's already had one ACL injury. Gets sacked 70 times this year. The Titans got him 9 times in a playoff game, but the Rams get him 7 last night. So I think we know what the Bengals should be addressing in the draft. And I don't know if you saw it, but Jamar Chase was wide open on that last play, open. Jalen Ramsey fell down. Jalen Ramsey had an abysmal game for the best cornerback in football. It was like watching Revis the second time with the Jets, just tripping all over the place. But, he just didn't have time to get rid of the ball. He might have had a Super Bowl-winning touchdown pass there and even build on the legend that he's working on. But Bengals just couldn't keep him upright long enough.
Well, if it was the last game for Al Michaels at NBC, he went up with a good one. I thought, well, the usual great call for Al Michaels, who has lost nothing off his fastball at 77.
No, he has not at 77 years old. He doesn't want to go anywhere. I talked to him a couple weeks ago, it's about some Tom Brady stuff after the Bucks game that he called. And I asked him, I know you might be done at NBC, but are you actually thinking about retiring? He said, I get in enough golf now. I don't need to play more golf. I can still do this. And of course that game was basically in his backyard. He lives in Brentwood. So, great way for him to probably end his time at NBC. He's going to end up on the Thursday night package, most likely, kind of the worst kept secret in football. It's going to Amazon next year. And, Al will work probably 16, 17 games and make a lot of money to do so and kind of get sent into retirement whenever that day comes for him, the way he wants to do it. So good for him because Every game still, to me, when Al Michaels calls it, feels like a big game. He's the best there is.
And Chris Collinsworth, I've always liked him. I think he's very solid. He's one of the better color commentators out there. Will he be partnered up with Mike Tirico now?
Yeah, that's the way it looks. There was some talk earlier this year that they were priming Drew Brees for that role, and then they put Drew Brees in the booth, and it did not go that well. He just was a cliche machine. Not on the Jason Witten level on Monday Night Football, but he wasn't exactly Tony Romo year one, or you know, even Greg Olson this year on Fox really jumped in and did a great job in the booth. And he's got some work to do, and he's got to learn to be critical and be able to tell you, like the great quarterbacks do, like Romo can do when he's not talking gibberish, and what Troy Aikman does, who I think is a tremendous analyst. He's got to get better at that. You can't put him on a Sunday night property that's the number one show on television every year for more than 10 years here. You can't slide him in and have that downgrade from Collinsworth like that.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. Were you surprised by the announcement by Michelle Tafoya that she's not just leaving NBC, but leaving the business?
Nope, not at all. She had that stint on The View earlier this year, which you couldn't pay me enough to watch, but apparently people did, so I could watch the clips online after she got very political to the point that she disappeared from the NBC airwaves for a couple of weeks, and the suspicion was that she was suspended. They said it was a vacation, a pre-planned vacation, but all of us media writers could find no previous history of anybody taking a vacation like that during the season for that length of time. As an NBA broadcast, NBC broadcast. So we knew she was leaving, and she's called to spend more games as a sideline reporter than anybody else in history has had a really successful career. But this is no surprise. She's going to work for a Republican gubernatorial candidate in Minnesota. So that's her career path now.
Does that mean more opportunities for old friend Catherine Tappan?
I believe it is. Catherine Tappan, I don't know if you know this, spent a ton of her childhood in Popham, growing up in Pittsburgh. Her family was up there in the summer, so she has a lot of Maine ties. I remember the first time I talked to her when she was at Nesson, and she had found out some way I was from Bath, and she was like, "Oh, you went to Morse High School." And I was like, how would you possibly know that? And it was because she'd grown up there, spent every summer there. Childhood, which is a pretty great place to spend summers, having been around that area myself. But I think she's going to slide in there. When they lost the NHL to TNT and ESPN, there was some thought that she was going to move on, and they made it pretty clear, NBC did, that they wanted to keep her around. And she didn't have a ton of prime stuff at that point. She was doing the Notre Dame games and NFL sideline work, but it was clear they had something in mind for her, and she told me there was something bigger coming that kind of enticed her to stay. So I imagine, just connecting the dots, that there'll probably be an announcement pretty soon that she's going to be the person taking over for Tafoya.
Now, speaking of Nesson, with the passing of Jerry Remy, do they have a definite plan yet for how they'll use their color analyst for baseball if we actually have a season?
I don't know. Nesson's too busy cutting staff right now to actually get around and announce anything here. They let Matt Chatham's contract is not renewed. I guess he's not coming back, and a bunch of their other people they've let go recently. So I'm not sure why they've kind of gone under the radar with everything. But the last time I talked to them was about 2 weeks ago about this, and they said they were still finalizing plans. Wouldn't give me really a clue on anything, but I found out from a source that Kevin Youkilis is somebody who's probably going to do about 50 games in the booth. Nesson being what they are, with me finding out they're going to use Youk, they'll probably fire him just to be spiteful. But they've brought in other people too. I think Will Middlebrooks would be a guy that may end up doing some studio work. Nothing concrete there, but I know they talked to him in the past and really like him. He does stuff on CBS, and he's a tremendous follow on Twitter. Mm. And, of course, has ties here from when he played for the Sox, and he's married to Jenny Dell. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him in there. And Eck's going to do about 120 games, which is the plan last year until Jerry got sick and Eck had to pick up basically all of them.
Hey, Chad, let's shift gears a little bit. The Celtics, all of a sudden, playing very good, relatively consistent basketball, and the early returns seem pretty positive on what they were able to haul in at the deadline. It certainly seems, and I'm not a guy who would criticize Danny Ainge. I thought he did a great job, but Brad Stevens seems to be a bit more aggressive and so far paying off.
Yeah, you know, all the deals that they say Ainge should have made, he really shouldn't have made them. People remember the names. But they don't remember what the Celtics are going to give up. Like for Anthony Davis would have been here a year and gone to the Lakers. That was pretty clear. It was always picks that ended up being Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum and deals for like Jimmy Butler, Paul George, or some other names that were rumored. So I think the big trades that he didn't make actually probably benefit the Celtics with the players Tatum in particular and Brown are becoming. But it's really been funny to watch Brad work because his first move was to get rid of Kemba Walker's contract. So you know how he felt about that. He got rid of Tristan Thompson pretty quickly. So you knew how he felt about that. Langford was Danny Ainge loved Langford. Really probably still believes he's going to turn into a quality NBA player. And I happen to too. Injuries really derailed him and he's got to become a better shooter. But I think he's going to find himself. Brad has also not only moved on from some of Ainge's more recent acquisitions, but he's also moved on from his own. I mean, he traded Josh Richardson in the deal for Derek White. He unloaded Dennis Schroeder right before the deadline to Houston. So he's hasn't been quick to move on from his own decisions either, which I think is a really good sign. And Derek White, it seemed like they gave up a lot, but two games of watching the guy and how he meshes on defense, how he's a playmaker on offense, seems like somebody everybody would like to play with. It's been a great fit, and you have to remember, Ime Udoka coached him as an assistant with the Spurs. He knows what he's all about. He knows what he can do. He knows what kind of teammate he is. And I said this on Twitter today, but I would just love to have heard the conversation between Stevens and Ime when they found out White was available, because I suspect Ime's response was do everything you can to get him. He can have six guys as far as I'm concerned.
Leah and those Mighty Wells Warriors are ready for a big run in the tourney?
They are, yeah. It's number one seed down here in Class B girls. Lost to Greeley the third to fourth to last game of the season, so the weight of being undefeated was weighing pretty heavy on him. I'm a full believer now in that getting a loss going into a tournament or the NFL playoffs or anything else is probably a good idea because that bullseye just gets really big. But, they're feeling pretty good about it. They won it 2 years ago, and then there was no tournament last year. And someone who coached this group of seniors basically from second grade through sixth and then a little bit in middle school as well. Would be a heck of a way to go out to win one more and kind of get that dream finish.
Absolutely. Well, we wish them good luck in the journey. I hope you enjoy it as well. Thanks, as always, for joining us, Chad, and we'll check in with you again in a couple of weeks.
Hey, great talking to you, Rich. You have a great Valentine's Day.
Thank you, and if my gift doesn't arrive by the end of the week, please let me know.
That's what they all say.
See you, Chad. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us here on Downtown.